This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Yeah. Everyone all set? Cocked? Locked? Your dial set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being with us today in class. Jason is engineering the broadcast in Minnesota at Genesis Communications Network. I'm Vincent Finelli. I'm in Missouri. With us, Gwyneth Isaacs, live in Australia. Welcome, Gwyneth.
Hello, Vincent. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really, really well. And how about you?
I'm doing good, thanks.
I am so delighted that we are the only broadcast that I know of that has a correspondent, a farmer, a degreed scientist, an off-grid living family associated with USA Prepares. I'm delighted, and thank you for being with us. I really mean that. And your voice is recognized all over the world by those who tune in and are students of USA Prepare. So I want to thank you, and I really, really mean that. You are delightful, and you're a wealth of information. I wanted to share something with you, Gwyneth. I learned this situation, this phenomenon, in the last 2 days. And they make in the United States, and you may have them out your way in Australia, I don't know, but they have these riding lawnmowers, and you can buy them at the big box stores, and they have twin-cylinder V-configured engines. So we have V6s and V8s. Well, these are like a V2. And they're air-cooled, and they have engines made by Briggs & Stratton. Briggs & Stratton used to make magnificent engines. Well, they've cheapened them quite a bit in the recent years, and they are air-cooled. And they're air-cooled, and they're fully dependent on 2 quarts or less of engine oil. And what happens is we are having massive, massive heat in our neck of the woods here in Missouri, you know, almost 100 degrees. So people are out there riding around with their riding lawnmowers, and at 100 degrees or 95 or 90 degrees, you're taking that outside air and you're trying to cool off your engine with air that's 95 or 90 degrees or 100 degrees. And you only have 2 quarts of oil, if you have a full crankcase, to transfer that heat from the pistons, the rings, the valves, the valve guides, the head, to the radiating surfaces to remove the heat from the engine. Well, if you don't have enough oil in it, and or if it's really hot, what happens is the valve guides, those sleeves of metal that are pressed into the cylinder head, become loose, and they move outward. And when they do that, the push rods of the engine bend. And then the push rods bend, break, and get dropped into the crankcase of the engine. And usually it only happens to one of the two cylinders. And when that happens, the engine really runs rough, and actually it doesn't run very well at all. And then when you find out that this has happened, people are looking at a very expensive repair. It could be $1,000, depending on how much damage was done by the push rods being consumed by the engine. It doesn't have to happen. It happens because of cheap manufacturing techniques, cheap design techniques, substandard design, overheating, and insufficient or the wrong oil. So my advice to the class, and I've seen this, I worked on one yesterday. I diagnosed it with our son. And I was stunned to find out that this kind of thing could happen for just reasons of heat, the outside air being too hot. Well, the advice is really simple. Absolutely, positively use the correct oil. And what I've started doing, and do your own research class, what I've started doing is using diesel engine oil, 15W40, a brand name. We use Delo, we use Delvac, we used to use Rotella, we don't use that anymore. But we use Delo and Delvac and 15W40 in our air-cooled equipment. And the reason for that is it has more additives for lubrication, like phosphorus and zinc, than the other oils have. Now, you can buy air-cooled engine oil, and that'll be fine, too, as long as you get a brand name. So my advice to you is pay attention to your engine oil level so you don't have this problem. The other thing is, if you have a push-type or walk-behind lawnmower that's air-cooled in a single cylinder, like a rotary mower, like a 20-inch or 22-inch or something like that, and you push down on that handle that you're holding on as you follow that lawnmower around or you push that lawnmower around, when you push down on that handle, the front of the lawnmower goes up off the ground. When that happens, the oil runs to the back of the crankcase, and the engine doesn't get lubricated. So if you're going up a hill, your engine's not getting lubricated. If you're going down a hill, your engine's not getting lubricated. If you're going sideways, the engine's not being lubricated. So word to the wise is if you want to go up a hill and you don't have to have that mower running, don't run the engine while you're going up the hill, and your engine will last longer. If you push that handle down too long, your engine will self-destruct. It's as simple as that. So I wanted to share that with the class. Gwyneth, any comments?
Okay. I haven't had a mechanical lawnmower for many, many years, but in a little while, I'll be getting my very own one-horsepower ride-on lawnmower.
Now, so instead of changing the engine oil and spark plugs and fuel filter and air filter, you'll be changing the one horse powered lawn mower's shoes, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're having a bit of a joke here just for the class because I sent Vincent an email earlier regarding the topic of today's class, which was horses, okay? And specifically, what to do if you are thinking of selecting a, off-the-track racehorse for your transport in a situation where you think that, that the Caprola might soon be hitting the propeller and you maybe live not very far from a race course or in a horse racing area. Harness racing or thoroughbreds, and you're thinking that maybe you might be wanting to use one of these horses for some transport. And so that is going to be the topic of today's discussion.
Well, I love it. We're surrounded by farms where people have horses. Of course, the Amish have horses, and they have usually one-horsepower buggies that they ride around, and the whole family gets in a one-horsepower buggy. And you're talking about a combination-type machine, one that that actually can mow the lawn and make fertilizer almost simultaneously.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are absolutely marvelous. But there is a little bit more to consider about horses than, some people, they might be of the impression, oh, yeah, we'll go and get a horse and we'll start riding and it'll all be fine. And but there's a bit more than that to consider with regards to, if you're going to make that decision, you've got to take quite a lot of things under consideration, but I think that we might be heading into a break fairly soon.
Yeah, we've got about a few minutes, about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay. Because what I really wanted to start this in a new section because it is quite detailed. But, you know, I've worked around horses, mostly off-the-track retired race horses, since I was about 15 years old. And they can be very, very interesting creatures. I learned to ride on a particular off-the-track thoroughbred, and he was a beautiful boy. But there's certain things about racehorses that you need to know. For one thing, often they are not necessarily really well broken in the first place. And often, if you get a horse that comes off the racetrack, they often need what's called re-breaking or re-education before you can pretty well do anything with them at all. But that's a whole topic, and I would really like to start it in a new section, Vincent. But okay. I will keep talking just until the music hits. I'm not sure how long that is. Yeah. I think it's just
well, let me ask you this. I just checked the prices of a riding lawnmower. Now, you can get a 42-inch Cub Cadet 18-horsepower riding lawnmower for about $2,000. How much is a 1-horsepower ride-on lawnmower in Australia?
Anything between giveaway free and probably about $1,500.
Okay.
So
and
around about the same price or a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. And these riding lawnmowers only last about maybe 5, 6, 7 years now. How long does a 1-horsepower mower last?
Well, normally when you get an off-the-track horse, they're between about 5 and 7 years old, and they can live to be 20, 22, 25 years old. Some of them go on to be almost 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now,
generally,
okay.
They can be ridden until they are probably in their late 20s.
Okay.
So we
have smartphones, smart refrigerators, smart televisions. I don't think we have smart riding 18-horsepower lawnmowers yet, but you can get a smart 1-horsepower ride-on lawnmower, right?
Yes. And that's especially the topic that I would like to discuss because they can be really smart.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to take account of the fact that you've got a highly intelligent creature underneath you. And, you know, they think, they reason, they have their own thoughts and intentions. Some of them have been very well treated. Many of them have been very poorly treated. Some of them have a grudge. Some of them are going to be vindictive, and they're all individual personalities. And that's, you know, that's quite a bit of the fun of horses, and especially thoroughbreds, and especially thoroughbreds that come off the track. They're all individual personalities, and you have to take, you can't just put a saddle on a horse and think that it's like every other horse that you've ridden, because every single one of them is going to be an individual.
And if that horse shakes you off or rears up, it's kind of like falling off a ladder.
Yes,
worse than that.
It can be hard. It can be a bump.
Yeah. We'll be right back with Gwyneth. We'll be right back.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA or store jumper cables in your vehicle or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped 1 million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Gwyneth and I are talking about horses today. And there are all kinds of horses. Gwyneth, horses come in different colors, different sizes, different shapes. You know, there's warm bloods, there's Appaloosa, there are thoroughbreds, there are Arabians, there are American quarter horses. I mean, just to name just a few. And is there a difference in the way a horse behaves based on the color of the horse, like red, black, white, spotted, gray? Is there a difference?
Probably not.
Okay.
I would say that color has very little to do with temperament.
Okay.
What has more to do with temperament is the breeding of the horse. Okay. So if you get a horse breeds very broadly divided into three categories. And those are hot-blooded horses, warm-blooded horses, and cold-blooded horses, okay? The hot-blooded horses, horses that you would normally think of as being, very highly bred horses that have been bred sometimes for thousands of years along a known pedigree. So horses like Arab, thoroughbred, you get the Akeltekee horse that would be considered to be a hot-blooded horse, and a few other very, very sort of elite-type horses. They have, they are the royalty of the horse world, and believe me, they know it. When they come out, when they, you know, show themselves to the world, you better believe that they are something different, because if you don't realize that they are something different, they're going to teach you that they are something different. And they generally have very high intelligence. They require a proper, just that right blend of firmness and compassion. Okay, you can't be a softy with a hot-blooded horse, because they quite literally will walk all over you. Sometimes, quite literally, walk all over you if you don't realize that this is a very, very special creature. But it needs special handling, it needs firm handling, but it does not need cruel handling, okay? The second category of horses is the vast majority of horses out there, which are called warm-blooded horses. And those include the actual breed called warm-bloods, which are generally crossed with a hot-blooded horse originally, and what's called a cold-blooded horse, and we'll get to that in a moment. But in the warm blood category, you would also find horses like the quarter horse, the Appaloosa, you know, any one of a dozen, you know, riding horses, hunting horses, Hanoverian, you know, oh, gosh, there's hundreds and hundreds of horse breeds, but they would be your regular type riding horses, okay? And they're likely to be much more forgiving in, you know, in how you treat them and how you handle them. But then you get the cold-blooded horses, which are the real workhorses of the horse world. And they are horses such as a cob, Shetland ponies, Welsh cobs, gypsy horses, Clydesdales, Shires, you know, any of the old European war horse breeds that are absolutely massive. Those are the horses that can work all day, every day, and not complain about it. They are there to work. They have a job to do. Their job is on some level or other heavy labor. They understand that, and they're not going to complain about it. And you could think of it like this. If you could think of, you know, I like to refer to, back to the example because it's something everybody can understand, of sports cars or cars in general, okay? If you could imagine that there were three different broad categories of automobiles out there, that there is the real workhorse-type automobile, there's the daily drive, and there's the elite sports cars. Okay. The
right, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
After seemingly expressing support for expanding gun purchase background checks just a few days ago, President Trump seems to be backing away from that, saying only that he was now supporting the enhancement of the existing background check system. He told reporters yesterday he shares the NRA's concerns about taking rights away from lawful gun owners.
We have to be very careful about that. You know, they call it the slippery slope, and all of a sudden everything gets taken away. We're not going to let that happen.
The Guardian's reporting law enforcement has prevented 6 mass shootings in America since the deadly attacks in El Paso, Dayton, and Gilroy, saying several of the plots may have involved white supremacists. The 6 suspected of planning the attacks are accused of targeting gays, Jews, blacks, Latinos, and Muslims. This is USA Radio News.
This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck. This is truck oil. This is hunting, fishing, camping way off the grid oil. This is climbing mountains in the rain, snow, and mud oil. This is hauling the world's greatest tailgate party halfway across the country, oil. This is not top-down cruising to the corner store for cupcakes oil. This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck, just for your truck and SUV, oil. Find Shell Rotella Gas Truck at your local Advance Auto Parts today.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of my pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented my pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
It's gonna be sliding.
Winner today is hot.
Keep it. God, you're
take my
when you go
to the
for
2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Gwyneth has divided horses into 3 categories, and the analogy is of with cars. So we have a truck, kind of like a work horse, a daily driver, and a sports car. Gwyneth, please continue.
Okay. Now, if you could take into account, okay, those 3 different types of vehicles are going to have 3 different purposes. The workhorse, you are going to maybe take it out to a construction site. It's going to take a little bit more heavy treatment. You're going to be able to use it for a heavier type of work. it's going to have less mechanical issues if you try and do really, really heavy stuff with it, like a lot of heavy towing, or if you put a lot of heavy equipment on the back, or just do a lot of heavy trips, or work on rougher terrain. And with cold-blooded horses, that's approximately true, okay? Before automobiles were invented, these were the horses that were used to pull heavy freight transport. So they would have massive wagons back in the day where the wheels of these wagons were 6 foot diameter wheels, and they would have steel tires, and there'd be basically a massive flatbed. And they would be pulled either by a team of oxen or by a team of draft horses, Clydesdales or Shires mostly, or maybe some European breed of draft horse. And you could not pull a wagon like that with race horses because you would destroy their legs, okay? And not only that, they wouldn't have, you see, with a horse, you're dealing with a living creature. Shires and Clydesdales and other varieties of cold-blooded horses have it in them all day to plod along if necessary. So pulling a plow, pulling a great big freight wagon, you know, doing this sort of thing, and they're capable of working at a slow plodding pace all day, every day. But you will find that the more up the blood heat scale you get, the less capable the horse is to do that kind of slow plodding work that is necessary. I mean, you know, if you get a warm-blooded horse, something like your Appaloosa, a quarter horse, a you know, an Indian paint horse or that sort of thing, they're great for going backwards and forwards. They have, you know, they can do things like plowing. They can do a lot of sort of the draft manual labor type of work, but not the heavy draft type work, okay? So if you would compare it to a car, yes, you can get a daily driver to, like, if you have an SUV, especially the heavier type of daily drive. If you have an SUV, you can't get an SUV to pull a trailer, pull a float or a boat or whatever, okay? And it'll quite happily do that. But really, that's not what it's for. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Sure does.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, most people get these warm-blooded type horses because what they want to do is they want to have fun riding around, and they want to maybe go jumping, go pony club. They want to go trail riding. They want to, you know, just have a fun, relaxing horse to ride. And maybe if they live in a rural area, they want something that will get them back and go into town and then come back. And I know in many parts of the rural United States, I know in Australia, maybe less so, but I know that in many parts of the rural United States, that a lot of people actually do ride horses just for the pure purpose of transport, you know. So they'll live on a farm maybe 10 miles from town, and now and again they'll just ride their horse into town. Have you heard of that, Vincent?
Yeah, we see it. We see it.
Yeah.
See it all the time. And we have a neighbor. We have a neighbor who is a senior citizen, and he likes to exercise his horses. And what he does is he has a buggy, and it has he had it custom made, or he made it himself. It has a bench seat, and a couple people can sit on it. It has automotive tires on it, so it has a nice smooth ride. He hooks it up to his horse, and up and down the dirt roads he goes. He'll go miles and miles and miles. He can go to the store with it.
Yeah.
You know, fill up the buggy, the back. It's kind of like a a two-wheeled pickup truck, except it's hooked up to a horse.
That's right. And, you know, such horses, the thing is, with the warm-blooded horses, they're ideal for that. Because with the cold-blooded horses, they have enormous power in their muscles, okay? But that needs fuel. So if you want to put it back into the automotive analogy, these workhorse trucks, they generally have a higher fuel consumption than like a family SUV, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's the fact that you get the payoff for that with that you have a higher workload capacity with a workhorse type, you know, a Holden Rodeo ute or an Isuzu ute or something like that. There, you can do things with that, but if you tried to do them with an SUV, you would break the SUV. Okay, you would end up having overheating problems, cylinder problems. You might, do in your diff. I was once trying to cut what I thought was, you know, a relatively light amount of grain, which was 300 kilograms of grain. I tried to put it in the back of a GM station wagon, and the diff fell out. So that's an example of something that you don't want to do with a family car. You might be able to fit 300 kilograms of grain in the back of the station wagon, but that doesn't mean that you should, you know. And horses are the same. If you try and put them into, and these are things that you have to consider if you are thinking of getting a horse. You have to consider, what sort of work am I planning to do with this horse? Am I planning to plow fields? If I'm planning to plow fields, what magnitude of plowing am I looking to do? Okay? If you're looking to plow hundreds of acres, then you probably will need, and if you want to get into a situation where you're going to be able to do it off the grid, or even dozens of acres, then you probably will need that, heavy draft horse or a heavy draft team. But you've got to take account that they are going to have to be fed with a capital F, that you are going to have to spend maybe a third of your time in a Caprola hitch propeller situation, plowing the fields just to plant oats to feed your horses to keep them going. In a heavy draft type situation where you can anticipate that motor vehicles aren't going to be around anymore and you want to go back to the old ways of doing things. But if you want to, have a horse where you can, you know, hook it up to a buggy and go out driving, I love doing that. We'll get more to that in a minute. If you're going to do that, you're going to need a different horse than if you were planning to ride, because a horse that is good at pulling a buggy will be different to a horse that is good at being ridden, okay? And there's probably one key difference. In their temperament, they need not be very different, but the key difference is that if you constantly put a horse into harness, you will change the way that it operates. You will change its gait over a period of time to a much coarser gait that is not going to be as comfortable when you're riding it, okay? So in the old books, the books that were written before the advent of the automobile, they recommend that you should not use a harness horse for riding, simply on account of the fact that they become less comfortable to ride. Their gait tends to get larger. If you could imagine a horse at a trot, if it is having to pull, it's having to put a different set of muscles into operation, and it's going to make, especially at the trot, it's going to make a bigger trot. And that can be a problem because big trots, because when you're trotting on a horse, they tend to bounce you, okay? So riders, especially English horse riders, and European horse riders developed something called rising at a trot, where if you can imagine that the trot beat was like bump, 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 where you would go bump and then up on the second bump and then down on the third beat and then up on the fourth beat. So instead of going bump, 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 bump with your bottom bumping four times on the saddle with every pace, you would, with every stride, you would only bump twice, okay? And that's what you see if you see somebody who is an experienced horse rider trotting their horse, you will find that they sort of rise up a little bit and then go down and then rise up and then go down. That's called rising at the trot. But that movement becomes more exaggerated if you are using a horse for the harness. Okay, because the horse has it uses a different set of muscles in pulling than what it does in carrying you, and that set of muscles that's built up tends to exaggerate the trot. Now, if you've only got one horse, if you can only afford one horse, obviously you're going to have to live with the fact that if you've been driving your horse and driving it and driving it and driving it and driving it, and then you go and put a saddle on it, that it's going to have a much more uncomfortable trot. It's going to have an exaggerated trot that tends to throw your feet up further. And there's ways to accommodate that. You make the stirrups, you know, one or two holes shorter is a very good way of doing it. But yeah, this is the things that you have to consider. You have to consider what you are going to primarily use the horse for, and you have to select the breed and select the individual, taking notes of these factors. I think I can hear music again, Vincent.
Yes. Just a few seconds. We're going into a break. Gwyneth Isaacs is with us, and we're talking about horses and what you need to know. We'll be right back.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Gwyneth Isaacs is with us, and we're talking about horses. And Gwyneth, around here, a full-grown cow will eat about 30 pounds of hay a day, if you're feeding just hay. A horse eats about 25 pounds of hay a day. So if you fed a horse hay all year and you didn't have grass to feed it, that'd be about 9,000 pounds of hay per year. A round bale, a large round bale, let's say 4 feet by 5 feet, the kind we bale, weighs about 1,000 pounds. I imagine they're about $40 now because there's plenty of hay each. They cost more in the wintertime because of the storage and demand in the wintertime, so the price goes up. Now, a small square bale, the kind that you can just pick up and carry with you by yourself, they weigh about 50 pounds, and they cost about $4 around here each. So that means that at cost of $4, if you bought them in bulk, you'd be feeding two square bales of hay. I'm sorry, one bale every 2 days.
Yeah.
At the cost of $2 a day to keep a horse. Does that sound about right to you?
That does sound about right, but what you've got to consider is generally if your horse is in work, that hay is not going to be sufficient food for it, okay? It's going to need grains as well. And people have been using horses to do their work for around about 4,000 years. And you can go back to ancient Babylonian texts and ancient Mesopotamian texts and Egyptian texts that were written 4,000 years ago, and they say that you need to feed your horse grain as well as oats if it is in work. Otherwise, it will start to lose condition. It will start to lose weight, muscle mass. It will start to lose fat, okay? And so you need to feed probably oh gosh, between 2 and 6 quarts of grain to that horse each day, depending on the level of work that it's in. So if your horse is in heavier work, even if it's a draft horse, especially if it's a draft horse, you need to feed them you would probably need to feed around about 6 quarts of grain, divided into 3 meals. That would be 1 in the morning, 1 at noon, and 1 at night. With 2 quarts of grain in the morning, 2 quarts of grain at noon, and 2 quarts of grain at night, in addition to its dry food, which would be hay or chaff or whatever. And people have tried to get around this, but there's really no getting around it. If the horse is in work, it needs to be fed grain, okay? And the best one grain you should never, ever, ever, ever feed a horse is wheat, okay? You can feed a horse wheat bran as long as it's the bran where the flour has been removed from it, okay? That's actually a very good, you know, filler food for a horse. That's actually a very good dry food for a horse, is pollard bran, which is wheat bran. That's bran where that's wheat where the flour has been removed and you've just got the outer husk, okay? But other grains that you can feed a horse include crushed maize, and you can feed them crushed barley, and you can, of course, feed them crushed oats as well. The reason why you crush them is because the horse's gut is quite inefficient, and when you crush the grains, you put them through a machine called a grister, and what it does is it cracks the outer shell of the grain and enables the horse's digestive juices to access the goodness which is inside the grain, okay? But if you want to optimize the amount of nutrition that your horse gets from its grain, what you should do is you should take that grain and you should soak it in water for about 24 hours before you feed it to the horse. Because a horse will only digest around about 10% of unsoaked grain. Okay, so that means if you say that 2 quarts of grain, then the horse is only going to eat probably about just under a cup. It's only going to digest just under a cup of that 2 quarts. But if you soak it, it will digest the entire 2 quarts. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about horses. And I'm going to share with you something absolutely atrocious. The largest fraud committed by a Missouri farmer that has to do with organic grains. We'll talk about that, and it relates to horses. We'll be right back with more.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.